KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelai Kinneen, and it's 9:02. For the second time in a year, Unalakleet is rushing to fix a break in its water system. Last March, water tanks in the community of just more than 700 ran empty. And the culprit, city officials discovered, was a leak in a pipe buried 6 feet beneath the ground. This latest break wasn't nearly as bad, damaging just a few hundred feet of the water line, but the latest incident highlights Unalakleet's larger problem of coastal erosion. The shores are getting chipped away, and in the process, wreaking havoc on the community's property and infrastructure. Carl Erickson is a resident of Unalakleet, and he says the proximity of the water piping to the rapidly eroding beach is worrisome.
And that's one of our concerns, is there are water sources out here another mile or mile and a half to our right. And so our water line runs right down here, right along the beach, buried, but it's been a source of concern.
Although the water line lies close to the shore, it wasn't a serious problem until fall storms started eating away at the beach, which had long served as a natural buffer. Scott Dickens is the city manager for Unalakleet. He says with the current layout, the water system is highly vulnerable to storms.
So you can see along here what's been eroded. When I was younger, this was 20, 30 feet longer out there that way. We've had that much, erode away, and storms come up, and this is where it's lapping right here. It's throwing wood up onto this part of the road. But the thing is, what I'm trying to get at here is this is where our water line is underneath here. So you go down 6 feet right here, we got our water line. So it wouldn't take much to a good storm to take that out.
Since 2010, the city of Unalakleet has coordinated with federal agencies and the state to bulk up the seawall protecting homes and businesses. But the project wasn't finished when this latest storm landed, and many sections were all but erased by strong waves during Sunday morning surge. The current plan for the community's infrastructure is twofold. Boulders and pilings will be sunk down to protect the vulnerable southern and western parts of town. In those sections, houses and businesses that are already standing will hopefully be guarded against future flooding. But the water issue is less straightforward. Dickens says it will take as long as 2 decades for a new water source to be developed and connected to the town.
We got an old system here, and we're working with Village Safe Water right now to work on plans and funding for a new water source up North River, which would be just east of us here, up the valley and up to the North River Bridge. We're working with them on that year, but that's a process that's going to take 15 to 20 years.
And in the meantime, Dickens wants to reroute Unalakleet's water lines. Rather than running next to the beach, they'd be reinstalled about 100 yards further inland, protected by a natural berm for the foreseeable future.
We're trying to see if we could buy 10 years by moving the line inland about 100 yards. I'll show you up here what I'm kind of looking at. But this is the long-term plan, which is 15 to 20 years. And I kind of been working on a short-term, medium-term, 5 to 10-year to buy us time to get to this location.
Dickens' estimate is that it would cost around $500,000 just for the temporary stopgap measure. It's too early for cost projections on the long-term water solution. And amid declining state revenues and federal sequestrations, it's unlikely money for infrastructure and relocation projects will flow as freely in the next few years, which are likely the most imperative for the community's long-term planning and well-being. The Norton Sound Economic Development Corporation held its annual board meeting in Unalakleet last week. In addition to decisions about funding projects in the region, the board of directors elected its corporate officers and chose positions for the executive committee. NSCDC voted to provide Nome with a grant to expand the causeway in the city's port. $500,000 will be provided in the hopes that the remainder of the funds can be secured from other sources. The board also announced it would be raising its annual community benefit share. Dan Harrelson is chairman of NSCDC's board of directors. He says the increase is to help communities in the region cope with the high cost of energy.
For many years, it's been $100,000. This year, we've upped it to $150,000 per community for that community to choose how to use that benefit share to make things better in their community. Our board of directors realize that things are expensive in the villages now. A lot of communities, all of our residents, are having a tough time dealing with high energy costs. A lot of the villages will choose to use a portion of this $150,000 to help their community members lower their energy costs, I'm sure.
Like the state's permanent fund and the national economy at large, NSCDC has regained much of its financial health since the 2008 crash. This year, the corporation's gains came to just more than $4 million. Harrelson says one reason for this is the healthy recovery of the salmon fisheries in the region.
We've made a lot of bounds and leaps with our salmon fishery. You know, we've really reestablished salmon fishing throughout the region. We've got folks fishing from St. Michael's to, you know, Unalakleet to Gullivan to Elam. It's really made a rebound over the last few years.
Crab fishermen had a harder time, spending more on fuel to travel further out for Red King crab, which shrank in profits. Still, Harrelson says the CDQ got more than 1 million pounds of crab, and with 103 salmon fishermen and more jobs in processing, NSCDC continues aiding employment in more jobs in processing, NSCDC continues aiding employment in the region's commercial fishing industry. Harrelson says it's part of the corporation's commitment to the region.
NSCDC's done many things, but I think I'm most proud of is NSCDC's continued commitment to the people of this region and to the youth of the region.
Two new directors were sworn in at the meeting, one for Brevig Mission, the other from Shaktulik. And Dan Harrelson was unanimously voted in to serve as chairman for another term. If you have GCI Internet, you should now have faster Internet. GCI moved Nome to the Terra network in phases in the past number of days. Instead of data traveling to satellites literally in space, data now travels through the network on the ground, allowing for faster speeds when surfing online. GCI says the internet service should also be less prone to signal delays and weather-related interference. And perhaps most noticeable is that web pages load faster and video streaming is smoother. Getting Nome and some nearby communities connected is all a part of GCI's plans to create what they call a Terra Ring.
So Kotzebue is on the roadmap for next year, but we're already doing great strides there. And then the real challenge is to close the ring from Kotzebue. And so we're still looking at a couple of different options there.
GCI spokesperson David Morris. With the improvements to internet service, many in Nome, however, are now complaining about the cable service now provided by GCI. Following a breakdown in contract negotiations, GCI dropped KTUU from its rural broadcasts. KTUU is the NBC affiliate for Alaska and producer of the most watched newscasts. 22 other communities are affected, including Bethel, Kodiak, Unalaska, and Valdez, representing roughly 7,000 subscribers. GCI acquired CBS affiliate KTVA Channel 11. Before the purchase was approved, KTUU communicated to the Federal Communications Commission that it was worried GCI would drop the channel. A look at the price of gold, down $5.90 an ounce to $1,277 even. An ounce of silver's at $21.06, down 40 cents. It's currently 10 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock.